Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. You can't sing a song like that and not move your feet. That's why I took my shoes off, because it's impossible. Yes? Hallelujah. Now, I was going to bring a certain word this morning. And last night, quite late last night, I went out for dinner with Joe and his family. And it was just fantastic. Had a beautiful night. When I got home, I sat for a little while and had a bit of a yabber with Vaughn and Wendy. And then when I went to my room, I thought before I left for dinner that I had this word all under my belt. But you know, God does things. He surprises us all the time. That's why he's God and we're not. We should get used to that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not God, neither am I. Hallelujah. And he proves it to us by surprising us. And he began to speak to me about this word. And so I sat up last night and I started to get this together. And when I sat here, well, stood here this morning, and Pastor Vaughn got up and he said, "Breakthrough by your hand." That just hit me here. And I thought, Lord, that's what we're talking about this morning. That's what God gave me last night. Breakthrough by your hand. Now, I didn't have that exact title. Don't think I'm that spiritual. Hallelujah. I called it the report. God said to me, "What report are you hearing?" And as I began to think of that, I thought, God, I've never preached on this in my life. And I was, okay, God, what are you saying? And I began to get it. When I sat here this morning, God spoke those words right into my spirit, "Breakthrough by your hand." And I believe this word today is a key for that, to enable you to do that this morning. There are some people need to break through by your own hand. I've had to do it many times in my life, and I have a few stories about that. But I want you to understand that a report is powerful. Any report you hear, any report you speak is powerful. It has the power to empower, or it has the power to make you powerless. Hallelujah. So a report can empower you or make you feel powerless. And I think we're all human here today, I hope and pray. So therefore, we have had some reports that have made us powerless. Yes, can everybody say amen to that? I'm an interactive preacher. I like you to shout at me. I'm from Africa. I'm used to people shouting at me. Hallelujah. So take your liberty, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Numbers 19. Please, can you look with me at Numbers 19? Sorry, Numbers 13. Numbers 13. And you know the story well, and I'm not going to go through every bit of it. I'm just going to touch on areas. It says here that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send men out that they must search the land of Canaan." Now, you know all about the 12 spies. Yes? Hallelujah. If you're not taking notes, I encourage you to, because this is the word from the Lord. I know it is. Hallelujah. And it's about the 12 spies. And God actually spoke to Moses. Moses didn't have a good idea. This was a God idea. And God said to Moses, "Take these men and send them out." And you see that he took one of every tribe. The 12 men went out to spy out the land while they were in the wilderness before they crossed over into the promised land. So go over and spy out the land. And he asked them to look for specific things in this land. In verse 18, he says, "See the land and the people that dwell in it, whether they're strong or weak, and whether there are a lot of them or a few of them." So they were. That was one thing he asked. Then he said, "Look at the land, see if it's good or bad. See if the cities, are built of tents or if they're in strongholds." Hallelujah. And the next thing he said, "Look at the land and see if it's fat or lean, and bring me some of the fruit that's in it." Now, I just want to look at that just for a second here. These were, God had made up his mind they were getting the promised land, right? This was not a decision God was making on their report. He wasn't doing a demographic study of the land to see if he would go in it and the children of Israel would live in it or not. God had already promised it to them a long time before this actual scripture here. Hallelujah. Before they got to the 12 spies there. And he's saying to them, you go and you find out your report. You go and see what you're looking at. I want to ask you today, what are you looking at? You know, what are you seeing in your life today? What are you looking at? Are you looking at tents? Are you looking at strongholds? Are you looking at things that you have to break through? Or are you looking at things you can blow over? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wasn't to determine if God would give us the land or them the land or not. He'd already decided it was theirs. Didn't matter how many people were there. Didn't matter if they were big or not or little. Didn't matter if there was fruit or not fruit. Whatever was there wasn't of a concern to God. The land was theirs. Hallelujah. The land is ours, but sometimes we're too busy getting caught up in our demographic report. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go over. Look at verse 26. Excuse me. Look at verse 26. It says, they went and they came back to Moses. Now, they've done their study. They came back to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel to give their report. And they start and they say in verse 27, we came to the land that you sent us, from the land that you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they give this huge bunch of grapes that they, two men had to carry on their shoulders. I've never seen a bunch of grapes like that in my life. I don't know if you have. Do you grow them that big here? You grow some pretty good apples and other things, but do you grow those kind of grapes? And they came. They had incredible fruit from that land. And they bought it and showed him. The next word is crucial to us as believers. They're giving their report. And in the King James Version, it says, nevertheless. In our modern era, we would say, but. Oh, God, look at the fruit you've given me. Look at the things you've done in my life. Oh, God, it's amazing. But we're talking about breakthrough by your hand or my hand. Hallelujah. Yes? All right. And we look, and they're no different to we are. We say these people are terrible. We're just as terrible. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled. In other words, fortresses and very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. They were big, tall, giant guys, much bigger than the people that play the NFL basketball. Is that what they call it, NFL? What is it? NBA. What do I know? I'm Australian living in Mozambique. I'm confused. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. NBA. Thank you very much. What's the NFL? Oh, there you go. What do I know? Hallelujah. So here we are, they see that they're much taller than those dudes in that game. And they're huge, absolutely huge. I actually saw on the internet one day in Mozambique on one site, they had this giant that they had actually, the carcass or skeleton of a giant that they had actually uncovered in the earth, like archaeologically. Did anyone ever see that? You ought to look that up. I tell you, it's huge. The man's head was like, I can't describe it. Look it up on the internet. Internet has everything. Hallelujah. Archaeological digs on giants. Hallelujah. Have a look and it'll put your world in perspective when you think of David and that Goliath fella. Hallelujah. So here they are. They're seeing those huge, huge people and they're seeing all the reasons why they can't break through. All the reasons why they can't possess the land. Now, you probably all know this word, but I know today that God has it for today. Hallelujah. So bear with me. Grab a hold of what God is saying in your life yourself. These stories you know very well. And they go on and they're all saying all these negative things, the but things. And they're reporting this, not just to Moses and Aaron, but to the whole congregation of Israel. And that's what we do. We don't just tell our husband, our wife, or our friend. We tell everybody why we can't break through in that. why that person doing that thing is ridiculous, why it's stupid to take four children around the world and just trust God to provide for everything you take with you and what you don't have. Hallelujah. Like Vaughn and Wendy going into a house, no home, just going from house to house, wherever, whatever country you happen to be in, believing God will open a door. I travel with four children the same way, my husband and I, and God always opened a door. And it was always a door of rejoicing, not a door of griping. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And it says in verse 30, Caleb told the people in front of Moses, shut up. King James doesn't quite say it like that, but shut up. Have you ever been telling some really negative story and you also you've been listening to a negative thing? I would do that, but I would do this, but I can't, but when I retire I will, when I, you know, when the children are finished school I will, but I can't because but you know, my mother died, my father died, I bought a land, you know, that's what Luke says, hey, in the word there's always a but. And you're listening to this person and something inside of you wants to shout, shut up. Yeah, anybody ever feel like that's just me that's irreligious here this morning? But you know, I should. I mean, Caleb got up and said, shut up, you know, and you feel that it's such a negative thing. Caleb says, let us go up right now. Right? Not tomorrow. Not after the kids are grown, not after the money's in the bank, not after we recover from a depression or a recession or whatever we're in. God doesn't care what we're in because he's in control of everything. So we shouldn't even be bothered about what we're in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's another story though. Hallelujah. He said, let's go now. Not when the financial climate's right, not when this thing's right in our life, not when the next thing's right, but let's go now and possess it. And I love this next bit. For we are well able to overcome it. Now, that's confidence in God. That's knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Nothing is too difficult for him. So why should it be too difficult for me? And I'm talking this morning on breakthrough by your hand and my hand. Hallelujah. We have to have that burning in our heart, burning in our soul, burning and transplanted and indelibly imprinted on our mind, where we say, God, hallelujah, we're well able to get through this. We're well able to possess this land. I know what you promised me. Hallelujah. His promises are sure. We sung it again today. Hallelujah. I know you, God. It's half our problem. We don't know him. It's in those times we get to know him. And if we don't break through, we don't get to know him in that area. And that's what we need to. Never be afraid of the breakthrough. These people with that first report, that we'll read in a minute, they were terrified. Terrified. That report did not empower the nation. It crippled the nation. Hallelujah. It crippled them for 40 years. Some people have wandered in God 40 years. Yes, they're saved, but they're wandering. They're wandering, moaning, groaning. If only this had have happened, you know, I wouldn't be in this fix. If only that girl hadn't come along, my husband would still be with me. Hallelujah. If only that moron that I connected with in church wasn't really a moron. Hallelujah. I said it at Jerome's place the other night. Don't hook onto a moron because you're lonely. Do you know what? God said, I know the plans I have for you. I have it all planned out. You know, plans to prosper you, take care of you, not to abandon you, or to, do you remember? Oh, it gives you an expected end, yes. Not to abandon you, forsake you, is another word. In other words, not to leave you alone. Not to leave you alone. And the church, and I don't know why, I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to say it. I said it at Jerome's the other night. I'll say it here. The church that I have been to, I'm not saying your church, but I'm saying I've been all over the world this time around. I'm on my way home now, praise God. And the church per se, general, right? General church is so full of lonely people. And they one lonely person sees another lonely person. And they look at each other, hello. You know? And he starts to take interest in me. He's not alone, so just relax. He starts to take interest in me, so I've been lonely. Oh, he's a really nice guy. He's so nice. But does he love the Lord? I know this one does. But does that moron know the Lord? Probably not. Probably not. And out of loneliness, we hook on to these people. And if you marry a moron or sleep with a moron, sometimes don't even marry him, just sleep with him. If you sleep with a moron, you destroy your life. You destroy your life. Why? Because we're not breaking through by our own hand. We're trying to walk our own path and find the promised land for ourselves. God says, I have a promised land for you. I promised you it. It is yours. It's not going to be yours. It is yours now. But we fluff around. Do you fluff around in America? You fluff around, you know. We fluff around. Glory to God. But Caleb's saying it like it is. And it says that the men, verse 31, went up against him. You start speaking faith, you start speaking breakthrough, and people start talking bad to you. And if we're stupid, we start gainsaying ourselves and thinking, uh-oh, is this really right? But if we know God, it says here, but the men went up against him and say, we are not able. Oh, don't you hate that word? We are not able to go against the people because they're stronger than we are. I'm not able to do this thing for God. You shouldn't even be thinking of it. When we took our children first to India in 1982, our children were little. And when we took them, my Pentecostal family withstood us so strongly. You are worse than infidels. You're not thinking of your children's education. What do you think you're doing? Da, 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 da. My husband's family were heathens. Nice word. But they did not know the Lord. Hallelujah. And they were like, go for it. Do it. Praise God. I didn't say praise God, but they said, go do it. Wonderful. Fantastic. What a great experience. Now work that out. Work that out. My Pentecostal family, Australia only goes back two generations in Pentecost, unlike America. So I'm second generation. So my family's first generation. The holy ones, you can't do that. And they know all the scriptures why you can't. They're worse than the heathen because they use the word of God. I have news for you. The devil uses the word of God. Hallelujah. And he says, you can't because they're stronger. And it says in verse 32, they brought up an evil report. Hallelujah. And he said, they said, the land will swallow us. And all the people that we saw were men that were huge. Hallelujah. Oh, it's very interesting this, isn't it? I find it very interesting. And they go on with their evil report. We saw giants and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You will never rise to the position God has given you and wants you to stand in until you stop listening to the evil report and start saying, I can. I can. I can break through. It doesn't matter how strong the thing is in front of you. I can. If you will, he will empower you. If you don't, you'll go nowhere. How do I know this? I've lived this. I want you first to look at chapter 14 before I give you some some personal experience here. I want you please to look at chapter 14, verse 1 in the Message Bible, please. Give me 2 seconds to find this. I've got a new thing here. I'm learning about it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1 in the Message Bible, chapter 14, it says, "The whole community was in an uproar, wailing all night long." Glory to God. Get a picture of that. Wah! We're in the wilderness. You can hear it. I've heard people say this stuff. Hallelujah. All the people of Israel grumbled. Everyone say grumbled. Grumbled. Anybody grumbled? Everybody's grumbled, so I won't ask that question. Against Moses and Aaron. Now notice, now it's not against God, it's against the leaders. You know, if it's anybody's fault, it has to be the leader's fault. If you blame God, he might get zapped or something, you know. But if you blame the leaders, you're on safe ground. Hallelujah. And it says here, the entire community. This is a whole nation, guys. This isn't Kingston. This is a whole nation. And the whole community was in on it, and they said, "Why didn't we die in Egypt or in this wilderness?" That's ironic, isn't it? Hallelujah. Why didn't we die in Egypt? Moses is probably thinking, "Yeah, why didn't you?" Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. "Or in this wilderness." The ironic part is the report they listened to, those generation did die in the wilderness. And that's what many Christians are doing today, dying in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Anyway, it goes on and it says, "Why has God brought us to this country to kill us?" Well, if he kills us, we go to heaven, so stop wailing. You know, what's the problem? You don't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning feeling like you haven't slept for, you know, 3 nights. I hate mornings. Anyone else hate mornings? Praise God, I'm not alone. Glory to God. And it goes on, it says, our wives and children are about to become plunder. Oh, that's very dramatic. What will happen to my family if we do this thing? You know, it'll destroy them. That's rubbish. Why don't we just head back to Egypt right now? Here's Caleb on one hand saying, we can go in now, possess it. You know, it's ours. We're able to do it. This other crew are saying, oh, let's go back to Egypt right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Why did I come to this church? I don't know. Take me to the last one, quick. Hallelujah. Verse 6, Joshua. God bless Caleb and Joshua. Here comes a good report in the midst of all of this chaos. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of whoever, members of the scouting party, ripped their clothes. I mean, they were fed up. They were frustrated. Have you ever been so frustrated that you wanted to rip someone's clothes? I don't know that I wanted to rip my own, but I sure wanted to rip someone else's. Hallelujah. Praise God. They were fed up with this crew. And they said, and they addressed the whole assembly, the whole nation, and said, "The land that we walked through and scouted out is a very good land, very good indeed. If God is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land that flows, as they say, with milk and honey, and he'll give it to us. Just don't rebel against God." Verse 9. And it was interesting that Pastor Vaughan mentioned rebellion this morning as the sin of witchcraft. Here is Joshua and Caleb saying, just don't rebel against God and don't be afraid of those people. Why? We're going to eat them for lunch. Don't you love the Message Bible? We're going to eat them for lunch. Don't worry about them. They're not as powerful as you think they are. They have no protection and God is on our side. Don't be afraid of them. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, God is on your side. He's on your side. You belong to him. You're held here right in the palm of his hand. Some of you doubt that? Come on, have an amen or something. A shout. Give me something. Do I have a shout? Thank you, Jesus. Remember, I come from Africa. I need shouting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to just share a couple of things for you. I really walked through this, and I've walked through that a number of times in my life. When Jeff and I went to Mozambique, we were there for 10 days and we just received our temporary residence visa, which was a miracle in and of itself to get one so quickly. And 4 days later, we received a phone call from Australia saying that our youngest son, Caleb, had been killed in a motorcycle accident. It was 6 weeks before his 20th birthday. And I remember Jeff had to take a phone call. He took the phone call and came out, and he just said, and I can still remember that exact moment when he looked at me and he said, "Caleb has been killed on the motorbike." And my mind immediately says, "Nah. Denial's a very real thing. Nah, that's wrong." And I said, "No." And he said, "Yes, Caleb is dead." There's no other way to say it. How else are you going to say it? "Excuse me, I can sit down a minute, blah, blah." "No. So Caleb is dead." And I remember that word going through my mind. Dead. Dead. Think on the word dead for a minute. Dead. That's like a no hope word. Yeah, that's like, you can say injured in a hospital, you know, fighting for his life. You can say all those things. And there's hope there. But dead's dead. Do you know? And it's like, dead. And I remember thinking that, "Lord, I tried to get around that word." And you know, when God does something in your life, sometimes we try to get around it. But I'm sorry, a good report doesn't mean denying something. It means breaking through it. Right? Breaking through a bad thing or a hard thing or a difficult thing. Hey, and when I was looking at this word, I was like, dead. I can't go around that. There's nowhere to go. Dead is dead. So I had to accept that was the report. You can say that's an evil report, but it was a true report. He was dead. So it was okay. I was like, dead. All right, dead. How do I deal with dead? How do you deal with dead? Hey, no clue. I didn't have any ABCs. The Bible doesn't give you an ABC of how to handle that. So I remember thinking, "I have no idea, Lord, what that means. I know he's dead. I know I'll no longer see him. I know all those things." And I started processing this stuff. And all the time I was going back to Australia, those times Mozambique was very difficult to get out of because it wasn't developed very well. And it took us 4 days to finally get home back to Australia for after that news. And my other children, we have four children, so the others were there. And they were like fallen apart, absolutely fallen apart. We all fallen apart. What do you do with that, you know? But I remember finding this place inside of me, a quiet place inside of me that says, "God, I don't understand this, but I know who you are." And people came to us and said, "Oh, what are you going to do now? You know, where are you going to live in Australia?" And we looked at them and we said, "We're not living in Australia." "But, well, why would you go back to Mozambique?" "Well, why wouldn't we go back to Mozambique?" Do you know, there's always a voice of reason out of people's concern. They were not being, harsh. They were trying to, you know, help us along the journey. But it wasn't God's journey they were directing us towards. Do you understand? So what I'm saying to you is be very sensitive to that quiet place inside of you. We had received that temporary residence visa 4 days before this event happened. God had already positioned us in his grace to know the next step for us was back to Mozambique. Before we left Mozambique, we knew we would go back. Why? Because God had already positioned us and his grace covered us in that time. I want you to understand something. God will position you for whatever you face even before you know it's going to happen. Hallelujah. His grace covers it all. And now we could say, "Well, God, you've done that, so why should I serve you because Caleb's no longer here, blah, blah." We have a choice at these times. which report we're going to entertain. If we're going to entertain the report that says, well, I'm serving you and you do this to my son, so I'm sorry, Lord, I'm going back and I'm just going to sit in church and I'll still serve you and love you, but oh, I'm sorry, this ministry thing's got whiskers on it. Hallelujah. Do you say whiskers on it? No, sorry. Hallelujah. Or you can say, like Joshua and Caleb, we are well able to take the land. Do not be afraid, because God is on our side. Hallelujah. God is on our side. Go in and possess it now. Hallelujah. The same thing happened when my husband Jeff died 5 years later, very suddenly, very quickly, very unexpectedly. And I can remember then, that was the second time for me in that sense of this same kind of thing. And I can remember hearing from that. I was in Mozambique. He was in Australia at the time, so he died there. And I can remember when we got that news, when I got the phone call from my daughter, and I was like, not again. That was the first thing that went through my mind was, not again. Not again. And I remember saying, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. And then I had to tell my ministry team and the people, we live on 20 acres. We all live together. We have different housing, but we all live together. It's a ministry training center we live on, and we run, students live on. We have about 70 people living on base with us. So I had to tell the ministry team, and I was telling the guys, and they were shattered, and I'm saying to them, it's okay. It'll be all right. Don't worry. God's with us. It'll be okay. You know, he knows what he's doing. And while I'm telling them these things, in my heart I'm saying, I have no idea what you're doing. I have no idea what you're doing. You know? I have no idea. Here I'm saying it's going to be all right. Will it? I don't know. Hallelujah. So they were comforted. I went into my room and I flipped. I didn't want to read the Bible. I didn't want to read the Bible at all. I didn't feel religious at all. In any way, shape or form. I was numb. I didn't know what to do. So I sat there and I sat in a chair next to my kitchen table and I was like, first time I'd been alone, it was about 3 hours after the news, and I was like, I have no clue what you're doing. Not a clue. I don't know where I go from here. I don't know what I do from this point on. I have no idea. And the Message Bible was sitting on my table and I just flipped it open. And Isaiah 58 in the Message Bible, God illuminated three lines to me, and he said, I will always show you where to go. I will fill the emptiest places, and I'll give you firm muscles and strong bones. He's saying to me in those three lines, I will take care of you, body, soul, and spirit. I will fill you. You are well able to take the land in front of you. And the most amazing thing to me was when I got back from the funeral of Jeff, we had two funerals of Jeff, when I got back 2 months later from the funeral and the things I had to do in Australia to come back, I went to see the immigration guy, because Jeff was the director of our organisation that we'd planted, and I needed to know the law of Mozambique, what now we did when a director died. So I went along to see the immigration guy, and actually he was the director of justice. He was one of the lawyers and stuff in the Ministry of Immigration, top guy, and not a nice guy, but a top guy. So I went to see him, and he was very gruff and very, you know, old school fellow, and didn't like white people very much, which didn't go in my favour. And so I was sitting there, and he said, "What can I do for you, Donna Robbie?" And I said, actually, I just need some advice. Jeff, my husband, has died, and he knew Jeff. And I said, and I just need to know what the law says now for our organisation. And he just immediate change in this man, immediate change. And he stood up, and he came around, and he took my hands in his hands, and he said, I am so sorry. And he began to cry. This man was hard as a rock. And he began to cry. And God said to me, this day I give you favor. And I sat there stunned. This man had kicked more people out of Mozambique than any other director before him. And nobody liked him because of that, and everyone was very nervous. And here he was crying about my news. And he went and sat back around his table and he said to me, so what do you need to know, Robbie? And I said, I need to know, when Jeff was the director, so what do I? How do we go about appointing another director? What's the law say we have? What's the process that we have to do? And so he got out this huge old book, thick like this, stunk of mothballs. It was like moldy old thing. And he opened this book. I thought, my Lord, what on earth is he going to find? You know, it's like, you don't know. This country was a communist country for 17 years, you know, before it became democratic. And I was like, who knows what it says in here? And he opened this book and he's reading it. Then he shuts it and he says, you just have to have a meeting and give me the copy of the minutes of the meeting that you have with your board and with your committees, and whoever you nominate is fine by us. I was like, whoa, that was so easy. That was wonderful. That was like, oh, thank you so much. Anyway, we finished our business. I stood up to go to the door, and he came. He never used to get up and go to the door with you. He got up and he came to the door, and he took, again, right up in my face like this, and he took my two hands in his, and he said, I want you to know something, Donna Robbie. This man is not a Christian, okay? Far from it. He said, be strong and very courageous. You can do this. Now, if that's not God, I don't know what is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I say to you this morning, no matter what your situation is, be strong and very courageous, because you can do it. Don't ever say, I can't. What you're really saying with that is, I won't. And that is rebellion. That is rebellion. And if you do that, oh God, help you. Hallelujah. If we stand in a position ourselves in a place of rebellion against God, we run the risk of dying in the wilderness. Hallelujah. As I was looking at this scripture also, with what happened, with the decision that then I moved forward. I mean, God had called me anyway. I wasn't going anywhere. Mozambique was where I'd been called, as well as my husband. So ever since that time, he's been dead now 7 years, and ever since that time, I can honestly say he has empowered me to do what he has called me to do. Why? Because I broke through. I had reason not to. I had reason not to. Don't use those reasons to turn backwards and stay in a desert. But now, God said now, Caleb said now, we can possess it now. Make that decision in your heart today, now, now. David faced the same thing with Goliath. Hallelujah. His three brothers were part of the Marines. They were in there. Hallelujah, ready to fight the Philistines. Hallelujah. And Goliath comes out and starts to defy God and challenge. And it said all the nation was fearing and afraid, and they fled. They ran away. But David, who was delivering lunch to his brothers, and he hears this man sprouting against God. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that will defy the armies of the Lord? And you know the story. Amen. Someone else's armor won't fit you. Hallelujah. Step out with your little stones. That's all you need, because God is on your side. So take those reports, the ones that say to you, you can't, throw them away. Hallelujah. God is on your side. He will do it. If the vision of your life is only as big as you are, then you've missed God. If it's comfortable for you, you're not positioned correctly. God is raising up warriors today. Warriors today, not wusses, I spoke at Tom Petz's about wusses, to be a wuss or a warrior. He didn't raise up wusses. Hallelujah. They thought David was a wuss because he looked after sheep, played a harp out there in the boonies by himself, and brought lunch to the battle. He didn't even fight. He wasn't supposed to fight. But God turned him into a warrior. And I want you to know you can be a warrior today if you will break through by your own hand. And that which has troubled you, that which has stood against you, that which you have thought is too big, too strong, too tall, too fortified, will become like nothing. And you'll possess the land. I wouldn't be anywhere else than I am. I absolutely love where I am. I just think it's fantastic. I like being empowered. I don't like being powerless. Anyone here likes being powerless? Hey? Come on, anyone like being powerless? No, we all want to be empowered. Hallelujah. When I looked, I'm finishing on this point. God wants to empower us. In other words, he wants to give us authority. We have authority. We need to take it and walk through. To be powerless is to be crippled, impotent. You will never raise up other people under you if you're powerless. You can't. But when you have the power of God in your heart and in your life and you're willing to step out through the hard stuff, he will be there to meet you. Break through by your own hand. Don't wait for someone else to take you there. It's about you and God, me and God, not about anyone else. I can't because of so-and-so. Yes, you can. You'll just use so-and-so as an excuse. So put so-and-so out of the picture. That's God's business, not yours. Your business is you and God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you guys, break through by your own hand this morning. God said, I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. Hallelujah. Receive a good report. Be a good report. God bless you.